in the Vaishnav calendar. There is only one day a year. Where we, within our Gaudiya Sampradaya, specifically celebrate the Supreme Personality of Godhead killing a particular demon. We know in the Srimad Bhagavatam there is a grand celebration for Janamastami, Govardhan Puja, Holi, Ras Purnima, the appearance day of Radha Kund. But really, there is no major celebration where we observe a particular day when Krishna kills a demon. He killed Kamsa, but is there any day that we know of when we celebrate that? Or Shishupal, or Aristasura, Bhomasura, Vyomasura, Putana, Trinavarta, Sankatasura, Kaliya. Of course, he didn't kill Kaliya. He liberated. And similarly, in the form of Lord Varahadev, we celebrate his appearance. And Lord Narasimhadev, although he killed Hiranyakashipu on the day of his birth in this world, we really celebrate his appearance. We don't put so much emphasis that this is the day he killed Hiranyakashipu. But today, on Dasara, it is called Ram Vijayotsava. It is a festival of Ram's victory over Ravana. The day that Ravana was slain. And it is a very, very important day. To understand properly for our own spiritual progress. Because Ravana, especially, of all the great demons that we read about in all the great scriptures, very, very clearly exemplified the propensity within the heart of every living being that keeps one from surrendering to the Lord. It is that desire to exploit the property of God for our own personal interests. Krishna says in Gita, Bhoktaram Jagyatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that everything that exists is his property and everything is meant for his enjoyment. When we speak of fortune, everything that gives pleasure in this world is considered to be a good fortune. To have a nice prestigious position in society is considered good fortune. To have a healthy body is good fortune. To have a nice family is good fortune. A nice home, nice wealth, a nice job, good friends. This is all considered good fortune. To have abilities, skills, whether they be in athletics or in business or in art or music, it is all considered good fortune. Sita is the goddess of fortune. That means all the good fortune in all of this creation is the energy of Sita. It is actually the manifestation of the grace of Sita. Now, what was Ravana's demoniac quality? He wanted to take the goddess of fortune. He wanted to take the source of all fortune in this world, which was exclusively meant for the purpose of giving enjoyment to Sri Ram. And he wanted to utilize it for his own selfish purposes. He wanted to enjoy the property of Ram. Our body, our health, our wealth, all the resources in this world, it is all the manifestation of Sita. Anything that we take of this world, which is meant for the service of Ram, that we try to detach from the service of Ram for our own purpose, we are a thief. We are following the parampara of Ravana. Ravana has many, many followers. Practically this whole world are the disciples of Ravana. It is a fact, including all of us to some extent. The great acharyas, they teach complete selfless devotional service to the Lord. And those who are in the parampara of the great acharyas, they are striving and struggling to utilize all the fortune and all the energy of this world for the service of Ram. And those who are the followers of Ravana, they want to consider that this fortune is mine. It is mine to enjoy. They are trying to take Sita away from Ram. It is a fact. And this demon of lust, kama, material desire, of envy, of pride, it is within the hearts of every conditioned soul. And this demon within us is every bit as powerful as Ravana himself. And every bit as evil as Ravana himself. When the sister of Ravana, Suparnaka, when she was traveling in the forest, you know, she was a very, very terrible looking Rakshasa. Rakshashi, to be specific. She was amongst the Rakshasas, she was something very beautiful. But for the rest of us, she was not at all enticing. She was a very horrible, deformed monster. Anyways, these Rakshasas and Rakshashis, they were very powerful. Because they actually learned the Vedas and learned how to perform sacrifices. And through the process of learning sacrifices, they attained tremendous powers. But because they had dirty hearts, and they weren't being guided by saintly persons, they misused the teachings of the Vedas to acquire powers only for the purpose of creating demoniac circumstances for their own sense enjoyment. Knowledge is power. Veda means knowledge. The Vedas have the greatest power in all of creation within its words. And when knowledge is misused, there is no greater threat to human society than that. And when knowledge is properly utilized, there is no greater benefits that can come to human society than that. Ravana factually was a great, great scholar. He was a pundit. He knew the Shastras like anything. He was expert at the performance of all sacrifices. And his followers, he taught them all to achieve tremendous, tremendous potencies through this process. In fact, he was a worshipper of Lord Shiva. And exactly according to the rules and regulations of the scriptures, he performed sacrifice and ritual to Lord Shiva. And through that process, he obliged Lord Shiva to give him all of these great powers. Now, it is interesting to know that although Lord Shiva, in his original position, is Sadashiva, he is actually the personality of Godhead, who has his own Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual sky. In this world, in this material world, that same Sadashiva appears in the form of a demigod, in the sense that he gives benedictions to anyone who comes to him and performs the proper tapasya. And he can give, of all the devatas, the greatest powers, Brahma and Shiva, because they are the most powerful of the devatas. Hiranyakashipu worshipped Brahma. Kamsa worshipped Shiva. Ravana worshipped both Brahma and Shiva. Nowhere in any of the Shastras do we find any demon worshipping Vishnu. Can you think of any? Huh? Why is that? Because they know, although Shiva in his original form is Narayan, in his role as Shiva in this world, if we do the tapasya, he will give us the result. Whatever we want. Even if he doesn't want to give it, he's obliged to give it. He is Ashutosh. Just like we know the story of Brikasura. He was cutting off his flesh and offering it to the fire with the mantra of Shankar. And he was cutting it and cutting it and cutting it, and still Shankar was... he was disgusted by this person. This is my devotee, such a demoniac mind, offering his flesh and blood to me. He thinks I'm enjoying this. This is terrible. Ultimately, he was about to cut off his head and offer it. Then Shiva, huh, all right, what do you want? I want that whoever's head I touch will crack in 1,000 pieces and they will die. What kind of a request is this? He knew that this person is a demon and he's going to create complete chaos if I give him this benediction. But he's paid me the proper price. I have to give it to him. I'm obliged. And he gave it to him. And what Vrikasura, he immediately was looking over at Parvati and said, ah, very nice. Now I have power. Now I have the power to enjoy. Without you, Shiva, Parvati will be mine. And he went to touch Lord Shiva's head. Of course, he could have done anything to destroy this person. But as a lila, he ran away. And Vikasura was chasing after him like this. And then Vishnu came as a little boy. What are you doing? I'm going to touch Shiva's head. I'm going to crack it. I'm going to have... do you see this Parvati? How beautiful, how shapely, how lovely. She's mine. Just one touch of the head and she's mine. Narayan said, you are crazy. Don't you know that your prestige is more important than your life? And if people laugh at you and think you're a fool, how will you enjoy Parvati or anything else? And Shiva, his benedictions never work. I've seen it so many times. You'll touch his head, nothing will happen. Everyone will laugh at you. You'll be the laughing stock of the whole creation. And what's worse than that? So better you just test this out, this benediction, to make sure it works. Touch your head and see. So in this way, the demigods, if you perform the proper rituals and the proper regulations of the Shastras, they have to give you whatever you want. But Lord Vishnu, he's completely exempt from this responsibility. In fact, just the opposite. You can spend your whole life worshiping Vishnu to get a material benediction, and you can perform all the regulations perfectly, and in response, he may take everything away. He may put you in the most, in a completely poverty-stricken condition. He may make you a complete fool. Huh? It is a fact. Because Vishnu will not give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. Whatever is required to purify you and bring you closer to God, he'll give you that. If you worship the demigods and ask them for that, they can also help you with that. But practically nobody wants that. So the Suparnika, she was trained in these Vedic regulations, and she was so powerful that what did she do? This terrible, monstrous form, she transformed it into a very beautiful lady. She looked very distinguished, aristocratic, highly cultured. Huh? And she came before Ram and Lakshman. And she was so lusty for Ram, right in the presence of Sita. So what is this? You're attached to this skinny, ugly woman named Sita? You should accept me. Look at me, how beautiful I am. She was so infatuated by Ram that she forgot to maintain her disguise, and she became Suparnika again. She was talking about how beautiful she was and how ugly Sita was. You should accept me. Huh? Ram said, I'm already married. My brother's unmarried. He needs a good wife. Plus, he's a very competent person. He can take such nice care of you. You should accept him. So she turned to Lakshman. Ah, you should marry me. I am yours. Nowhere will you find such a woman as me in all of creation. And Lakshman said, no, you don't want to marry just a servant. I'm just Ram's servant. He's the master. He's not attached to Sita. He'll take you any day. You should approach him. So then she again came to Ram, and then they started making jokes about her, and she became very, very angry, very angry, and she went to kill Sita. At that time, Lakshman cut off her nose and her ears, and she went screaming in terrible pain to Ravana. And she told Ravana, because she's very clever, she knew that just to avenge the deformation of her, Ravana would not be too much enthusiastic. But Ravana is such a lusty fellow that if I can just describe the qualities of Sita, then he'll kill this Ram, and then I will have my revenge. So she described the beauty of Sita and the nature of someone infatuated by power is they consider that anything good in this world should be mine. No one should be the proprietor of anything I want except me. Huh? People become very envious. When we become intoxicated with power, with control, with wealth, when we are recognized in such a way, then our tendency is anything we see that anybody else has that's attractive, we consider that this person is not worthy of it, only me. Whether it is distinction, prestige, popularity, wealth, material goods, we just cannot tolerate seeing anybody having anything better than ourselves. So Ravana was thinking any beautiful woman no one is qualified to have her except me. So he went. He sent the deer Maricha. Actually, he was a great yogi. He was already defeated by Ram and thrown 800 miles into the ocean. Ravana told him that I want you to take Ram away so I can kidnap Sita. He said, are you serious? Ravana, I know who this Ram is. He's the Supreme Absolute Truth. He's Narayan. He's the all-powerful. I was struck by his arrow. I was cast 800 miles in the ocean. No one can defeat him. You're playing with death. You already have the whole city of Sri Lanka. You have a whole island which is made out of practically solid gold. It's the wealthiest, most opulent place in all of the creation. You've already stolen all the wealth of Kuvera, the treasure of the heavens, and you've built your kingdom with that wealth. You've already completely defeated Indra and all the demigods, and you've stolen all their wealth, and you've stolen the beautiful Apsara, the most beautiful women in all of the universe, and they're all yours to enjoy. You have complete rule over everything a person could possibly want and beyond. Just stay where you are and enjoy it. Ram is the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. If you try for Sita, you will be finished. You will be dead. There is no doubt. I guarantee it. Look at me. Ever since Ram defeated me, I'm just sitting in this forest, living like a sadhu, living like a hermit. I don't even want to be seen by anyone. I'm just sitting here worshiping Ram. Because I know who he is. But for a person who is materially attached too much, they cannot understand good instruction. Because they're too much infatuated by pride. Even when Arjuna was proud of his knowledge, Krishna had nothing to say to him until he became humble and submissive. You cannot hear good advice. So Ravana, instead of listening, he became angry. He said, Maricha, if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to kill you myself right now, and I will eat you. I will drink your blood. So he was thinking, if I'm killed by Ravana, I'll just go to hell for all my sinful karma. But if I do what he says and I'm killed by Ram, I'll get liberated. So better I just go along with what he says. So he disguised himself as a beautiful golden deer. Here again we find such powers that these Rakshasas had. And Sita, he was just casting beautiful glances and dancing around the forest. Sita said, oh, Ram, such a nice deer. When we go back to Ayodhya, after our banishment is done, won't it be nice to have this nice pet deer dancing and entertaining us? Please catch this deer. Please, please, please. Even in the highest spiritual, transcendental plane, husbands are always controlled by their wives. What to speak on this earthly plane? Huh? Said, Sita, I think this is not a deer. It's actually a demon, I think. It's not worth it. No, you go, you get. I will not be happy unless you get. All right, I'll get. Lakshman, you stay with Sita. Don't you go anywhere. I'm going to catch this deer. So he went, and the deer was dancing. And he was going deeper and deeper into the jungles, and Ram was chasing after him. Because he wasn't supposed to kill him. He was supposed to catch him and bring him back alive. And going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then finally Ram figured out. Of course he knew already. but by his lila, he appeared to just figure out that this is not just a playful deer. This is a terrible rakshasa, demon, who's trying to allure me away. He's very dangerous to human society. Therefore, he took his arrow and shot it. And as the arrow was coming, according to the instruction of Ravana, the rakshasa demon called out, "Lakshman, save me! Lakshman, save me!" And Sita heard it. She said, "Lakshman, go! Save Ram, he's in trouble." Lakshman said, "There's no, Ram is not in trouble. Ram is Ram. Nothing could hurt Ram. He's perfectly all right. It's probably just some demon trying to trick us." She said, "No, no, he's in trouble. You go." He refused to go. He said, "Ram has given me an order to stay here. I cannot break this order for any condition in all of creation. He has given me this instruction. I must stay with you." "Huh." Sita looked at him. You terrible creature of the forest. In the absence of Ram, you want to enjoy his wife? You want to exploit me for your own sense gratification? I cannot tolerate the sight of you. You're willing to see your own brother die just so you can take me for your own?" Upon hearing these sharp words, which were like sharper than any arrows even Lakshman and Ram had. The arrows of Lakshman and Ram were very deadly and sharp, but the arrows of the words of Sita could conquer even them. So he ran. Some commentators of Ramayana explained that he drew a circle around Sita, a mystic circle that nothing could penetrate. And then he went deeper and deeper looking for Ram. Right at that time, the rakshasa Ravana, he appeared. But not in his terrible, ugly, monstrous, ten-headed form, but by his mystic potency, he transformed himself to look like a very, very pure, gentle sadhu, Brahman. And he appeared very hungry and helpless, and with a begging bowl. He said, "Oh, Mataji, please, I haven't had any prasad for many days. Please give me some food. Sita said, "I'm not allowed to leave this circle. Lakshman has told me like this. So you come in the circle and I will give." And he fell down. He said, "I cannot walk another step." You see, this demoniac power of Maya, they know exactly where everyone is vulnerable. When Maya attacks, she'll get you at your weakest point. The only vulnerability of Sita was her goodness of heart in giving charity to saintly persons. There was no other way he could attract her. So he said, "Unless you come to where I am, I will starve." Now the great acharyas explained that this, as long as we are engaged in following the orders of our spiritual master in Krishna, Maya cannot touch us. She cannot touch us. But what she'll do is she'll tempt us, either through fear, through seduction. She'll try to somehow or other get us to leave the order of our guru. Because as soon as we come outside the grace of our guru, Maya can take us anywhere and do anything to us. But as long as we're within the circle of his mercy, she cannot touch us. But she's standing on the sidelines in so many ways, trying to attract us to something or someone. And imagine how clever Maya is. Ravana, through the form of the most gentle, humble-looking sadhu Brahmin, he seduced Sita to come out of the circle of the protection of Lakshman, who's the original guru's grace. That is why, as God brothers and God sisters, our first and foremost expression of love to one another is to help keep each other within the circle of the mercy of Guru and the Acharyas. Because the fact is that there is so much propaganda in this world in the form of sense gratification, in the form of other spiritual concepts, in the forms, innumerable forms. And we're all very vulnerable. We're all very naive. And therefore we need each other's help to keep us within the fold of Guru's mission. Maya cannot touch us. But if we become proud, we think we know better. It's all right. I could wander a little outside. And due to that pride, as soon as we wander outside, Maya just snatches our intelligence away. Unless by the grace of the Vaishnavas, they just somehow drag us back. Huh? So, Ravana convinced Sita to come outside. And as soon as she came outside, "Aha, I am Ravana, you are mine." All of a sudden, all of his Ted hens just sprouted. And there was his chariot driven by asses. And he put her on the chariot and she was screaming, "Leave me, leave me, leave me." And he just stole her away. Of course, If we continue the story, it will take until at least sunrise tomorrow. But he took her away. And in summary, as he was going, Jatayu, that very old Vaishnav, vulture, he tried to stop them, and he was willing to give his life. He knew how dear Sita was to Ram, and although he was old and invalid and could hardly even see, vultures are known for their good vision, he hardly moved. But when he saw this, he immediately understood that come life or death, I have to do everything within my power to serve Ram by protecting what is his. And he got up and challenged Ravana, and he fought so gallantly. And ultimately, because Ravana was young and powerful, he cut off the wings of Jatayu and left him laying in his own blood. And then he continued on. And as he was flying over Kishkindha Kshetra, the kingdom of Sugriva, whose prime minister was Hanuman, Sita saw these wonderful monkeys, and she took off the jewelry that was presented on her very wedding day by Ram's father. And she threw it down to the monkeys. And they gave it to Sugriva, their leader, who hid it in a cave. That cave is still there today. And then he went to Sri Lanka. And there he imprisoned Sita and told her that I'll give you 1 year to surrender, to be my queen and allow me to enjoy you. Otherwise, I will kill you. And I will drink your blood. So Ram, Lakshman, they came back. They couldn't find Sita. They were roaming through the forest, looking. Ram was offering all prayers of love. Sita, my darling, please come back. He was immersed in ecstatic separation. Ultimately, he found Jatayu, who was at his last breath. He told Ram what had happened. And then, in the presence of Sri Ram, he chanted the name Ram and died. And Ramchandra himself began to glorify his devotee. That just see, who is more exalted than this Jatayu? He willingly gave his life for my sake. Some foolish people think that how is it that a pure devotee could be put in such difficult situations if Lord is the protector of all? Here is the perfect example. Jatayu not only was a bloody mess with his wings cut off, but he died at the hands of Ravana. Does that mean he wasn't protected by Ram? Not at all. He was perfectly protected by Ram. Because Ram considered him his greatest devotee, because he was willing to risk and give his life in his service. And Ramchandra told Jatayu, you go immediately back to Vaikuntha. You resume your eternal body just on this very day. And Lord Ramchandra personally performed the last rites for Jatayu. That is the love that Ram has for anyone who is willing to take risks and accept suffering on his behalf. And then, of course, he met with this Rakshasa Kabanda, and he cut off his arms. And then he resumed his demigod form and told him that they have gone this direction. You should make allies with Hanuman and Sugriva. They will help you find. And then he met Hanumanji and Sugriva, and they helped. And ultimately, Hanumanji found them in Sri Lanka. And after meeting Sita and giving Ram's message, he burned a major portion of the city. And then, from Rameshwaram, they built a bridge, and they entered Sri Lanka, and there was the great battle. Such a battle. And ultimately, this demon Ravana, all of his sons, all of his soldiers, they were being massacred. And then he came out himself. Ravana is the emblem of the demoniac quality within our own hearts that wants to enjoy the property of Ram, and how difficult it is to kill. This desire to enjoy everything we enjoy, we should know we are thieves stealing from Ram. Every time we try to enjoy sense gratification, literally, we are stealing Sita from Ram. It is a fact. We don't want to think about it this way, but it is a fact. We should admit it. Because unless we admit our disease, we cannot treat our disease. The ignorance of human society is we want to think everything's all right. And a sick man who thinks he's all right cannot be cured by any means. But a person who admits that I'm sick, I need help, help me, he can be cured. So in this way, Ravana, so difficult. He conquered Indra, he conquered Surya, he conquered all the devatas, he conquered all the kings on earth, he conquered everything. No, nothing could stop him. He was so ambitious, so full of lust and greed and pride. He was all powerful. Ultimately, all the demigods, the only thing they could do is just come to Brahma, who came to Ram, prayed to Narayan, Lord Vishnu, please, only you can kill this Ravana. No one else could do it. We are all helpless, whoever we are, with all our intelligence, with all our sophisticated technology, with all of our greatness, with all of our wealth. We are helpless before this Ravana. He's destroying everything. He's polluting everyone. He was so undefeatable that even Lakshman himself, who was the original spiritual master, when he was fighting against Ravan, Ravan threw that mighty, mighty javelin into his chest, and Lakshman himself fell to the ground unconscious. Everyone thought he was dead. Even Ravana thought he was dead. That's why he left the battlefield. He thought, I have defeated him. He was laying in such a state of utter helplessness, no external consciousness whatsoever. In the fight against this demon, the original Guru Lakshman accepted such a terrible, terrible condition of life. Ultimately, Hanuman brought the Sanjivani herb. So, Ram, when he was fighting Ravana, every time he would cut off one of Ravana's heads, another head grew. He would cut off one, two, three, all 10 of them, and all 10 of them would grow back. Again, he'd cut them, again, growing back. He attained this benediction from Lord Shankar, that whoever tries to cut off his arms or his heads, they can't do it. They will, innumerable forms will grow back. You see, this is the very nature of our own material propensities, our own lust, our own desire for enjoyment. As devotees, you know how much we're trying to defeat it. We're trying to restrain our senses. We're trying to give up material desires. We're trying to give up sinful activities. We're trying to give up false pride. But at the least expected moment, this grows back. Sometimes we do fasting. We just chant all mantras. We do so many things. And somehow or other, everything's good. And then, all of a sudden, we just become lusty again. We become proud again. We become angry again. We become envious again. And every time we cut these down, comes back. Does anybody have this experience? So ultimately, Ram was told that the only place he's vulnerable is the center of his heart. If you shoot a special arrow there, then only can he be defeated. There's only one way to defeat this demon of Ravana within our heart. And that is to surrender. To surrender with all humility and devotion to Sri Ram, to allow the arrow of his mercy to enter into our hearts. That means to let that arrow enter into our hearts means to submissively surrender to the will of Guru and Krishna. Any other process of trying to destroy this demon in our heart will not work. Even Vishwamitra Muni, he was such a yogi, he didn't eat for years. He fasted for years at a time. He tortured his body in such ways that it's beyond human ability He went beyond Gangotri in the Himalayas and went in the water up to his neck for 6 months at a time. He wouldn't even breathe. He did it all to conquer this enemy of material desire within his heart. And he did. He became completely immersed in samadhi. He was just sitting in his heart. And he did. He became completely immersed in samadhi. He was just sitting there in total samadhi, complete negation of all material desires. Ravana appeared to be dead within his heart. But then Menaka moved her bangles. And then what happened is, the 10 heads just grew back, and he just, Menaka, Harivo. So you see, there's no other way except to surrender and allow the arrow of the mercy of Sri Ram coming on the bow of Gurudev to just let it pierce our heart. And sometimes it hurts. But we have to, that arrow cannot enter into our heart unless we submit ourselves and allow it to do so. When we chant the holy name of Ram in that surrendered attitude, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, then all the demoniac qualities in our heart are destroyed forever. This is the power of the holy name. We have no ability on our own. Only the Supreme Lord can save us. And the Supreme Lord has so kindly, so mercifully appeared with all of his power, with all of his astras within his name. And it is described that in this age of Kali Yuga, only the name of God can destroy the Ravanas in our heart. But we have to chant the name of God in such a way that the mercy of the holy name goes right into our heart. That means we have to chant, not simply sentimentally emotional. That externally may appear. Some people chant very sentimental. They try to go into emotional frenzies when they chant. That type of chanting does not go beyond our mind. The type of chanting that goes to our heart is the chanting when we chant in a genuine spirit of service, humility, and surrender. This is what the acharyas teach us. It is not a question of just going through emotional trances. It is a question of having a sober, mature goal in our life of really being a humble servant and surrendering to the will of Guru and the Vaishnavas. When we have that mood, that helpless, humble mood, Trinada Bhisu Niche Na Torora Bhisa Hishnana Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when we have the mood of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, in that spirit of service to Gurudev, then when we chant the holy name, like an arrow, it pierces our heart and kills all the demons. But how to come to this platform? We have to chant sincerely. We have to call out like a helpless child for the mercy of the Lord. Just like Sita. The whole time she was in Sri Lanka, she was simply calling out the names of Ram. And thus Ram came to save her. So if we also learn how to chant the holy names with this sincere, attentive spirit, in a helpless frame of mind, in a true service attitude, it is only through this process and no other way in this age of Kali that the demon of Ravana can be slain. We cannot do it on our own. We simply have to petition the Lord through his name. So why do we put so much prominence on this day of Ram Vijayotsava? Why did the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, who are all following in the line of Lord Sri Chaitanya, put so much prominence in this day? Because it is a day to remind us how much our only shelter, our only hope, is the holy name of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on this day, let us really put the priority in our life, taking shelter of the Lord through his service, through his devotees, and ultimately, in this mood, we are in the proper consciousness to take shelter of the Supreme Lord through his most divine and merciful of all manifestations, his name. So everyone, please stand up.